Let's take our Bibles together this morning to the Gospel of John. John chapter 19, we'll continue to go through the Word of God together verse by verse. We are in the middle of the crucifixion story, and we've come to verse 28 of John chapter 19. We'll read three verses together and look at this saying of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for our behalf as sinners. John chapter 19, the Bible says in verse number 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. This phrase of the Lord from the cross, you know, as we have already said, there are seven of them. And this one is the one in the middle. This is right dead set in the middle. There's three before it, three after it. It's a very deep saying of the Lord. I think it has a lot more meaning than you would just understand by a cursory reading of it in verse 28, where the Lord cried out from the cross, I thirst, I thirst. I think there are three things to find out here about this text of why Jesus said this and what it means, not just at that hour, but in our own lives, in the lives of every individual. You know, all of us know what it's like to be thirsty. Yet, you know, God does not know what it's like to be thirsty. You know, God doesn't have our frailties. God doesn't have our needs. And that's why God had to become manifest in the flesh. That's the miracle of the incarnation, that Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, though he was 100% God, he was 100% man, and he was able to be touched, as the Bible says, with all the feeling of our infirmities, all the needs that we could ever experience, he experienced those. And he did those for us to be in our stead. And he was the man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief, and he understood what it was to be tired, and he understood what it was to suffer pain and to be thirsty. You know, the pain of the cross was not just one thing, it was a culmination of so many different things. After staying up all night in prayer, he's brought into that trial, and he is beaten, and he's scourged, and then he's got a crown of thorns, and he's been bleeding profusely. And if that was not enough before the cross, then after they decided to crucify him, they beat him some more, and they smite him some more, as well as having to carry the cross up the hill, as well as having to hang on a tree for 6 hours, and part of that in the hottest part of the day. He understood all the pain and suffering that any man would ever experience. And yet, his cry of I thirst is not a cry of a complaint. You know, a lot of times as we live down here, we suffer pain and we feel a need to complain about it. A lot of times we have bad experiences in our lives as we go through life, and we want other people's pity. So we explain and express our need. Do we not do that as human beings? But yet, you know, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. All of us, really, we're all sinners, so we really all deserve sort of a rough road, right? I mean, we don't deserve a heavenly pathway, because as was sung this morning, we're unworthy. We're unworthy to have a perfect life. We're unworthy to have a pain-free life, because we're sinners. All of us are. But here's one that never sinned. And he did not deserve that, but I want to submit to you, he was not crying, I thirst, so somebody would hear his agony and run to him and give him some. He wasn't complaining. He was not desiring pity. And I know that because I'm reading the text of the Bible. Would you look at it with me again? He said in verse number 28, after this, that's after much of this suffering that he's done on the cross, Jesus, watch it now. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, look at your Bible, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. The statement of I thirst was a fulfillment of the Scripture. He's going through all the agony of the cross, and he's not complaining, and he's not griping, and he's not asking for pity. But in his mind, he knows the Scripture, and he wants to fulfill the Scripture. And even though it's agonizing, he is going to fulfill the words of God, even in the midst of pain. I wonder this morning, how committed are you to fulfilling the words of God? Are you committed to fulfilling the words of God even if it's pain in your life? Even if it looks awry to others? You know, the Bible tells us, I'll just show 1,000 years. 1,000 years before these events on the cross. This is what the Bible said about Jesus Christ in Psalm 22. You know, in Psalm 22, it begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Which is one of the other sayings of the Lord on the cross. But in that same chapter, he states the following in verse 15 of Psalm 22. He says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. There is no doubt he is dehydrated. He's already in the Garden of Gethsemane before man did his worst in beating the Lord and in causing the blood to run down his back and the sweat off his brow through his torture. He already cried, as it were, great drops of blood in that Garden of Gethsemane. He was dehydrated, probably like no man, and his tongue is even cleaving to the roof of his jaw for thirst. There's no doubt he was thirsty, but he's not crying out for thirst. He's crying out to fulfill the Scripture. He says in Psalm 69, listen to this in your hearing. Our text even says what they gave to him. They gave to him vinegar. Isn't that what it says in John 19, what we read this morning? I don't know about you, but I like vinegar for certain uses, but I don't think I'd want to take a good drink of it. That probably wouldn't be my favorite thing to ingest if I'm thirsty. What do you usually want when you're thirsty, say? You want some water. You know, he's not offered water. You know why he's not given water? Now, you would think that would be normal. He's not given water because the Bible had to be fulfilled. You know the Bible rules the world. The Bible controls even the activities of men, and it's all going to come out just like God said it would. And 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified, the Bible told you not only that Jesus would be thirsty on the cross, not only prophesied that he would be crucified, which was not even a mode of execution 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified, but he also tells you the very thing that they would offer Jesus to drink. In Psalm 69, the Bible says the following words. In verse 21, he says in the Scripture, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That is a fulfilled prophecy of Christ on the cross. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning, that Jesus was not just at the mercy of wicked men, and he was not just at the mercy of the devil, and he was not just at mercy of Rome and the Jewish people and the crowd, but what he went through knowing that he was fulfilling Scripture, and he was in charge, and he was in control. He wasn't crying out as a maniac or somebody at the end of his rope, I thirst. No, he says, I know that Scripture, and I will fulfill that Scripture now. And he cries out, I thirst, to let you know that the Scripture is true and is fulfilled. I wonder if the Bible controls our words and our deeds and our actions. Or does complaint, or does hurt, or does problem, or does circumstances, or is our need for whatever we desire in life, I thirst. Now, as we look at this text in John, I just told you they gave him vinegar to drink. And you can see that here in the text in John 19. And the Bible lets you know he received it. There was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And verse 30 says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he takes it, he receives it. But if you compare the rest of the Scripture, that was not all there was to the offering of Jesus' drink on the cross. You know, if you're hanging 6 hours on a cross, probably a lot of different things happened during that time. You know, a lot of people in the world, they hate the Bible. They want to find a contradiction in the Bible. They want to say that the Bible has errors. Now, you know, their Bible may have errors, but my Bible has no errors. It doesn't have any. And if you have a Bible with errors, you need to get another Bible. But the Bible really shows us there are three different drinks offered to the Lord. Now, that was commonplace. You can imagine for 6 hours as somebody's being tortured on a cross, that probably a lot of interaction went between those soldiers and those that were hanging on the cross. The first one, would you just turn back to the Gospel of Mark? I'll just show these quickly to you, and we'll go on into the story of this saying of Christ on the cross, I thirst. The first, it's very clear. John 19 says they gave him vinegar. That's all it says. And he received it. Look at Mark, please. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, you have a different drink in a different scenario. You have to understand, when you read the Gospels, you're not just reading one and the same account. You're reading four different accounts to give you the whole picture that God wants to give you about the life and the times of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 15, the Bible says this. Would you look at verse 23? Mark 15, 23, the Bible says, and they gave him to drink, what's that word? Wine. Wine mingled with, what's that word? Myrrh. Now watch the phrase. But he what? Received it not. That's not the same drink. Do you see that? It's not the same drink for several reasons. Number one, it's not the same thing. Wine is not vinegar. Now, people try to change the Bible. They say it's in error, and they try to make it match and all that. That's not the same drink. We also know it's not the same drink because the vinegar, the Bible says he received it. This one, it says, he did not receive it. He said no. You know why he said no? Because your Savior didn't drink liquor. Even when he was dying. You know what this drink is, this wine that's mingled with myrrh? This it's sort of a antispasmodic, it's sort of a drink that would bring some kind of mental relief to their agony. Myrrh is very strong, and this fermented wine and this mixed cocktail there was really to offer some consolation while somebody's dying. Now, I would say in the normal set of circumstances, if somebody's dying, I tell you what, if I'm on a hospital bed and amen, I'm being tortured and my body's racked with pain, whatever you offer me to take it away, I'm going to take it if I'm dying. Are you with me, or are y'all just different than me? Now, look, I've read the story. I wish I could be like Stonewall Jackson. You know, he was dying. They started to cut off his arm and they gave him the bottle to drink. He said, I don't drink it. I don't drink liquor. So they said, well, all right. So they started sawing the arm off. I mean, that's in the day before you had all the medicinal things that we have. You understand? And about halfway through sawing his arm off, he said, please give me that bottle. Because when somebody is dying, I mean, that's why we have, drugs are not for experimental purposes. I mean, those things are for when you're dying. But now watch it now. Look at your Savior. They offer him some relief in that regard, and what does he say? No. No. You know why? Because he is going to experience all the pain of sin and all the wrath of God and all the consequences of sin without any relief. He is going to go to the very end of the line for you and I without any help, without any comfort, without any aid. What a Savior that would step in our position like that and say, I'll take all the pain. I'll take all the agony. I'll take all the suffering. What a suffering servant. He says, no, no. I will not drink that. I will not have any comfort. I will not have an excuse. He received it not, the Bible says. You know, the Word of God says in Matthew, I'll give you the other drink if you want to look at that. Matthew chapter 27, while you're turning, I would also quote to you about that first drink where he said in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31, if you remember that verse in verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, to drink wine. You remember that verse? Not for kings. I would say still today, if you're saved by the grace of God, alcohol's not for you, man. And if you think it is, you need to reevaluate some of the scriptures in the Word of God. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. We probably would never have a drug society if we did not first have had a drunken society in our culture. And Jesus said no. He said no. Even dying, he said no. Oh, what a testimony of the King of Kings that the Lord gave to us. In Mark chapter 27, the Bible shows us that second drink, I believe. He says in verse 34, look at it with me. They gave him vinegar. Now, that's the same as our text. They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. So our text in John says it's just vinegar, it's not gall. So we have three different drinks and we have three different outcomes. The first one, they try to give him wine mingled with myrrh. He says no. The second drink they offer him is vinegar mingled with gall. Gall is just the most bitter thing that you could think of. And they put that gall with that vinegar and they offered, and the Bible says he didn't refuse it, but he tasted it, but he wouldn't keep drinking it. He tasted our bitterness, but he wouldn't stay there. He said, no, I'm not going to drink it anymore. But the last drink is just the drink of vinegar. And the Bible said he receives that. He receives that. And what I want to say about that drink is it not just shows the fulfillment of the Scripture, but it shows the fulfillment of our Savior in the place of we as sinners. He's thirsting because, you know, even enemies, the Bible tells us, that even if your enemy is thirsty, give him drink. That's in more than one place in the Bible. You know, Jesus became more than just an enemy. He became an outcast. He became that scapegoat that bore all bore everything. And he's not even going to get to drink. He's worse than him. You know, the Bible says we who are saved, we've experienced a change in our life. But if you've never been saved by the grace of God, you know what the Bible says about you? It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. You know, anybody that's not saved is even the enemy of God. And God would even give an enemy a drink, but here Jesus Christ is experiencing no water. You know, there are two times in the Bible Jesus expressed his thirst. There are both in the book of John. One is here. He doesn't get any water. The other is in John 4. You remember that? You remember when Jesus came to the woman at the well and said, give me to drink? You remember that? You know, there's no record that she ever gave him anything to drink. You know, both instances of Jesus being thirsty, both in John chapter 4 and in John chapter 19, was not for his own benefit, but for someone else's benefit. You see that in the Bible? He was thirsty in John 4, but he was more concerned about meeting the need and the thirst of that woman at the well. He's thirsty at the cross of Calvary, but he's more concerned about your thirst being satisfied and your need being satisfied and my need being satisfied than his own need being satisfied. Oh, what a painful death he died. And you know what thirst is? Thirst is just a cry. It's the heart cry for satisfaction. You know, sin makes you thirsty. You know, have you ever eaten something real salty and you just couldn't get enough water? I've probably told the story. I know I have, you know. When you preach, as many years I have, you tell everything over and over 100 times. But I was up in Virginia as a young man, and we went over and we ate some country ham. I mean real country ham, you know, like they did in the smokehouse, and they cured it with salt and all that. And I mean that ham was so good, I couldn't have just one piece. I had another piece, and I was enjoying that country ham. And I had to get up and preach, and I got up to preach, and I tell you what, there was cotton balls in my mouth. That's the most thirsty I've ever been in my life. That salt started working on me. And I got a little drink of water, but you know that little drink of water wasn't enough. I was still thirsty. Do you know what sin does? Sin just makes you more thirsty every day. Your thirst never gets quenched. Your desire, your satisfaction never gets quenched. And I'm telling you that Jesus Christ, in his I thirst, is fulfilling the place and in the stead of a sinner. And he's thirsting so that you don't have to thirst. You don't have to stay at the fountain of sin and try to satisfy yourself. You don't have to get pleasure out of sin for a season. You don't have to cry that cry that pain brings in your life because sin has invaded your life. He's hanging there for you, and he's experiencing your thirst. But you know, the thirst is not just a thirst of physical pain. It's a thirst of eternal pain. Sin not only makes you thirsty, and you can never get enough of it, and it never quenches your thirst. Remember, he told that woman at John 4, he said, you'll thirst again, and you'll thirst again. And the fountain you keep drinking from, you just keep thirsting. You're just a thirsty sinner. And you need to come to me or you'll never be satisfied. But you know, not only that's true, not only physical thirst or physical pain, not only in life do we find sinners thirsting, but in eternity. You remember Luke chapter 16 when Jesus gives us the story of two men that died? and one goes to be with, in Abraham's bosom, goes to paradise. And yet the other one, the Bible says, that man lifted up his eyes in hell. And being in torments, what did he say? What was his request? What was his cry in hell? Jesus is giving this story. And he says, that rich man cries out here. He says, send forth Lazarus to just dip his finger. Just dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. You know what thirst is? Thirst is what's happening in hell this morning. And there's no satisfaction. The cry of I thirst, I thirst, I thirst is not just a life without God. It's also a life in eternity, a life in hell, an eternity in hell. The thirst and never getting quenched. And what the Bible is showing us is that Jesus Christ is in that stead. You not only do not have to thirst in life, but you do not have to thirst in eternity, because He thirsted for you. He thirsted for us. He experienced all of that in our stead. I'm glad that forever I don't have to thirst in hell, because Jesus Christ took it for me. Has He taken it for you? You know, you don't hear a lot of preaching on hell anymore, do you? Just not comfortable. Nobody wants to talk about that. But yet, as we look at the cross, we see a picture of eternal damnation. We see a man, we see the man Christ Jesus that is condemned. We see a man that's experiencing the wrath of God, separation from God. He has sin, our sin on Him. And in His own body on the tree, He's made sin for us. And He's experiencing all of that thirst that the damned will experience for all eternity, so that mankind doesn't have to. I thirst. I not only see the fact that He fulfilled the Scripture, He fulfilled the place of a sinner, but there's something else He fulfilled. I think His statement of I thirst was deeper than just a statement about water. You remember how that Psalm 22 started that I quoted a little while ago, the saying of Jesus on the cross of, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father had perfect fellowship. They had sweet fellowship. Jesus did all those things that pleased the Father, and they had perfect communion together. And yet when He went to the cross, there was a separation, because He drank that cup of sin. And so God the Father forsook His own Son, but so the wrath of God and the payment of sin could be made. And I believe, and that's why you see a turning, and we won't get there this morning, but that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You don't find Jesus crying out to God the Father that way. When He prayed in His ministry, He said, Father. But when He's on the cross, He says, my God. Why? There's a forsaking there. There's the darkness there, and He's in the darkness for 3 hours, and He's suffering, and He cries out, I thirst. You know what I think He's crying out for? I think He's fulfilling the request of a son to be brought back into fellowship with his Father, because he's made sin, and God, as it were, has turned His back upon His own Son. He's been forsaken with the sin that is in His own body. I think He thirsts for fellowship with His Father again. And isn't it wonderful that at the end of that, He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But at the end of that, He says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You know what happened? That fellowship came because it was finished. He finished the payment of the sacrifice. He finished being the sin offering. I think He thirsted for the fellowship of His Father. I think that's a son crying out, wanting that renewed fellowship with his Father. Let me ask you a question. Would your prayer be like David? You know what David prayed? He said, I thirst for God. David said, I thirst for God, for the living God. He said, my soul panteth after thee, O God. He said, I'm like that one that's in a dry place. He said, after the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, he said. Do you have that son's cry for fellowship with the Father? He said in Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Jesus is that son that's wanting that renewed fellowship with the Father. You know, every day when we let sin come between us and our God, there is fellowship that's broken. Is there a thirst to have it back? He said in Psalm 143, verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Do you thirst for God this morning? As you see Jesus Christ, the Son, calling out to the Father, I thirst. I want that closeness back with you. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. You used to have close fellowship with God, but oh, it's been such a long time since that closeness has been there because there's been some sin that has broken that fellowship with God. Are you thirsty to have that renewed this morning? I see that in this saying. But the last thing I see in this saying, would you go back and look at it, John chapter 19? He said in verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. You know, I don't think there's anything in the Bible by accident. You know how they got him this drink of vinegar in response to his saying of I thirst? That verse right there, is it verse 29? Said that they put it on hyssop. You see that? Hyssop is a plant, and they took the end of that bushy plant and they took it almost like a sponge and they dipped that in the vinegar. And they probably stuck it on a spear or a pole or something and reached it up. And he receives that vinegar through that hyssop. You know why that's so amazing? Because hyssop's telling you something else about this drink. You remember when David got caught in his awful sin and he prays in Psalm 51 and he said, purge me with hyssop. He says, wash me. And I shall be whiter than snow. You know that Old Testament when they put that blood on the door, you know what they put that blood on the door with? They dipped that hyssop in that blood. And they took that hyssop and with the soaked blood and they put it on the post so that the destroyer would go by and there would be deliverance. And what I see in this I thirst and I see in this hyssop, I see the fulfillment of salvation's plan to purge us of every sin and every spot and every stain and to clean our lives. He received it with a hyssop. Oh, that God would take His precious blood and wash your soul this morning and purify your mind so that you will never thirst, so that your thirst will be quenched. The only thing that will quench your thirst is that salvation of God. Would you look just real quickly? Turn back to John 4. I'm almost finished. It's amazing the Gospel of John talks so much about thirsting. And the statement of Jesus on the cross of I thirst is just the culmination of salvation's plan for you and I. He said in John 4, I've already prefaced it about that woman at the well. He said in John chapter 4 and verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It is everlasting life. It's God's salvation that'll quench the need of your thirsty heart. Would you look at chapter 6? John chapter 6, he says again, John chapter 6 in verse 35. John 6, 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. One more time, next chapter, John chapter 7. John chapter 7 in verse 37, the Bible says this, John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It is the fulfillment of salvation's plan to quench the thirst of sinners. But my question is this morning, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Isaiah 55 says, ho, come unto me, he says, ye that are thirsty. Everyone that thirsteth, let him come unto me and drink, God said. Come ye to the waters. He said in Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. Don't you like cold water? I like cold water. I don't like lukewarm water. I like cold water. We were over there, missionaries in Romania. They thought if you drank cold water, it'd make you sick. They said it'd put stones in your liver or something crazy thing like that. They really believe that. I mean, you give them cold water, they just like, you're trying to hurt me. Superstition. But I like cold water. The Bible says as cold waters are to a thirsty soul. Listen, so is good news from a far country. You know, God brought some great news of salvation to this world a long way away from heaven's glory. And if you're thirsty this morning for God, he'll give you the water that your soul needs. He'll satisfy your soul if you'll let him. You can find everything you need for life and eternity at Jesus Christ. But so many people are thirsting somewhere else. What did he do with those Old Testament Christians that were, or those Old Testament saints, those Jewish believers that were walking around and around in that wilderness and they were thirsty? Oh, we're thirsty. He gave them water out of the rock, did he not? And he quenched their thirst. Well, Jesus Christ is that rock of ages that can give you water in a wilderness. And why are people looking everywhere in the world to find satisfaction in their life except from Jesus? Jesus is the fulfillment for your life, not any resolution of a problem or need in your life. It's Jesus. It's always been Jesus. I thirst, he said, so that you could be filled. I want to close with some verses out of Revelation. Would you turn to the last book of the Bible? Revelation chapter 7. This morning, are you thirsty? Have you allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to give you drink? What do you want in life? Don't you want to be forgiven? Don't you want to escape the penalty of your sin? Don't you want to get all that guilt off of you? Don't you want to accept Christ in your place? You don't want to go to hell and thirst forever. Why would you want that? And has Jesus satisfied your soul this morning? He said in Revelation chapter 7, watch this. I think this is really the fulfillment, the crux of the issue of this saying, I thirst. So this verse can be written. Revelation 7, verse 9, the Bible says this, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Drop down to verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Watch verse 16. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Verse 17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. How's that possible? They got to the Lamb. They came to the Lamb that thirsted on their behalf. Would you look at chapter 21? We're getting to the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 21, the Bible says in verse 1, speaking of heaven, it says, Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And the Bible speaks in verse number 6, and he said unto me, it is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Do you understand that the only thing that keeps you from God's water of life is whether or not you're thirsty and whether or not you want it. He didn't say, I'm just going to give out the fountain of the water of life freely. He says to unto him that is a thirst. If you're thirsty, if you want God, if you want cleansing, if you want forgiveness, if you want salvation, if you want him, he will quench your thirst. A lot of people don't want that. Look at verse 8. You've got fearful. You've got unbelieving. You've got murderers or abominable. You've got murderers. You've got whoremongers. You've got sorcerers. You've got adulterers. You've got liars that would rather have that than have the living water of God. They thirst for something else. They thirst for sin instead of thirst for Jesus. Has your thirst been quenched by the Savior? Last chapter, Revelation 22. Revelation 22 ends the Bible, and it ends the Bible like this in verse 1. Revelation 22, 1, and he showed me a pure river. This is in heaven. If you're saved by the grace of God, you'll get to see this. You'll get to experience this. Revelation 22, 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You can't get that water of God unless you get to the Lamb of God. Look what he says. 16, I, Jesus. You see that? Verse 16. Now watch verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus hung on the cross and he said, I thirst, so you don't have to. And he offers you living water. But he won't come back and bring it to you and open your mouth and pour it down your gullet. He says, come. You've got to be thirsty for it. You've got to want it. You've got to want to be saved. You've got to want the Savior instead of your sin. You've got to come. But the Spirit of God tells you to come. And the bride, that's we who know Christ, we say come. You know, why do we have invitation? We have an invitation. We offer people a chance just to come. And if they're not saved, to get saved. And we offer people a chance to come. And if they need to talk to God, they come and they talk to God. We offer people a chance to act on what they've heard in the preaching. And if they need to come and get a closer relationship with God, they come to the Lord and do that if they're thirsty. But you've got to come. Your dad can't do it for you. And your friends can't do it for you. And your preacher can't do it for you. And your family member. You've got to be thirsty and say, that's what I want. There's the water. Are you thirsty? Jesus is the water of life. He fulfilled that plan of salvation to meet the need of your soul. I thirst.